Welcome back to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. This past week, TED launched a new grant program called the Audacious Project. One writer compared it to the annual TED Prize, only much, much bigger. Instead of a $1 million prize, the Audacious Project is working with hundreds of millions of dollars to fund projects that could change our world. One of the inaugural recipients is an exploration of a part of the ocean known as the Twilight Zone, based right here in Woods Hole. Mark Abbott is president and director of Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution and one of the three project leads. Mark, always good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks very much, Heather.
Most of the Audacious Project recipients are working on issues like healthcare, food security, civil rights. How does Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution fit into that picture?
Well, that's a great question. And I think what we're really trying to do is transform the world, and we're trying to transform our understanding of a global resource, an area that's never been explored. Eventually, that will lead to those kinds of public policy changes that the other programs do. This is a very different type of project for the Audacious team.
The area that you're talking about is this area called the Twilight Zone. What is that?
So it's an area that's deep in the ocean, 600 feet and down to maybe 3,000 feet. So it's an area where you can tell that it's day and you can tell that it's night, but you don't really see the sun. So it's a twilight zone like we see every morning and evening, you know, as the sun rises and the sun sets. So it's a deep, largely unexplored part of the world ocean.
And, of course, the twilight refers to that light, presumably, but you can't help but think, da-na-na-na. Like, are there, like, monster organisms that live there? What lives in the twilight zone?
Well, that's really the question. We know that there are a lot of different and very unusual-looking organisms. What we don't know is exactly how many there are and what they do. We do know, for example, that a lot of creatures like sperm whales and great white sharks actually go down to those depths and feed. We know that it's these organisms that live in the twilight zone, many of them migrate up to near surface at nighttime to feed. It's the largest animal migration on the planet happens every day.
Every single day, they're just moving up and down in the water column.
Yes. They come up at night to feed when they can't be seen. And as the sun begins to come up, they dive back down into the dark and are hidden away.
So they constantly live in the dark. I mean, these have got to be some unusual organisms just for that fact. There aren't a whole lot of organisms on this planet that live in the dark constantly.
Yes, they look a lot like you would expect sea monsters, except they may be only an inch long.
Really? So they're very tiny.
Yes, they are tiny, but it's thought, for example, one type of fish called a bristlemouth, there might be upwards of a quadrillion of them down there. The most
Even know how many zeros that is to be a quadrillion.
It's a lot of zeros, and it would be make them the most numerous vertebrate on the planet.
So then how much life is there in this zone of the ocean? We think of the top of the ocean probably being where there's really the profusion of life, but this twilight zone, is it full of things or are they kind of sparse?
Well, again, we've sampled it very little, but what we suspect, some of the more recent studies that have looked at this part of the world ocean with acoustics, suggests that there might be 10 times the amount of biomass down there than there is in the rest of the ocean.
Wow. So we haven't explored it hardly at all, but it could be holding most of the life, at least by weight, in the ocean.
Yes, exactly. And it plays potentially an important role in how carbon cycles through our planet.
How so?
Well, carbon is taken out of the upper ocean by small green plants through photosynthesis. Eventually, that material sinks down through the ocean. It gets eaten and transformed by the organisms that live in the twilight zone. They, in turn, transform that into carbon, into what we call pellets of poop that sink rapidly and get buried in the deep ocean. So it could be an important area to take eventually carbon out of the atmosphere and bury it for long periods of time, hundreds to thousands of years, in the great ocean depths.
There have been projects in the past that have looked at ways to try to boost that algal or plant growth at the surface to suck the carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere into ocean life, thinking that might be able to get some of the carbon out. But it sounds like what you're saying is that without the twilight zone animals there to eat it and create those pellets of poop, it might not actually make it to the bottom and be permanently pulled out.
Exactly. That's one of the big unknowns in understanding our ocean and its role in the carbon cycle.
I'm talking with Mark Abbott. He's president and director of Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution and one of three leads on a new audacious project that just received $35 million from TED. So why do we know so little about the Twilight Zone if it's potentially so rich with life and so important to ocean processes and climate processes? Why haven't we studied it more?
Well, because it's hard to get to. It's deep, it's dark, high pressure, it's cold. And our instruments tend to focus on the things that we can see, the upper ocean, where we see fish and whales and marine mammals of all sorts. It's an area that was, in some sense, out of sight, out of mind, and very difficult to study. We're just now beginning to develop new sorts of underwater robots and sensors that can go down and measure the organisms and life in that part of the ocean. It's just hard to do.
Well, and one challenge with many parts of the ocean is how quickly they change, right? You've got at the surface, at least, and way down deep, you've got currents, so you're constantly, the water's constantly moving. I mean, you've already said that a lot of the animals from the Twilight Zone are moving up and down throughout the day. How rapidly is the Twilight Zone changing, or is it otherwise just kind of sitting there doing its thing?
That's, again, one of the questions we want to look at. How is it changing? Who's down there? Who's eating whom? How many are there? How do they change in time? How do they change from ocean to ocean? We just simply really don't know.
Is the Twilight Zone under the same pressures that maybe the surface ocean is? Is there fishing there? Does it get hit by pollution? Are any of those things concerns?
Well, the fishing, that's a great question. That's one of the things that make this a more urgent scientific study beyond just curiosity. A lot of nations and companies are beginning to think about harvesting that part of the world ocean because they think there's so much down there, either to create food for aquaculture, nutraceuticals like fish oils, that they could just send deep pumps and pump that material up and transform it into a whole range of products.
I can't say that I find the idea of an inch or two long, bristly, toothy little fish an appetizing idea for a snack. I mean, we're not necessarily talking about human food here.
Exactly. It's not something you're going to see on the on your local menu as the catch of the day. Literally, they just it's a way to suck up protein and transform that into fish meal or agricultural products, nutraceuticals as well, that we would consume.
So $35 million is a sizable grant, certainly. So how are you planning to use this big infusion of cash to study the Twilight Zone?
Yes, so it's $35 million over 6 years, and it's a start to really start to say, how do we engage people and governments and companies in this exploration of an important part of the ocean, an area that's largely unknown, but potentially something that could really help with food sustainability on our planet? How can we create knowledge and excitement in this voyage and go in and understand a resource before we begin to exploit it and then say, uh-oh? That's really the audacious part, is how do we engage everybody in an important journey, not just for science, but really for understanding to help sustain a healthy ocean and a healthy planet.
That's Mark Abbott. He's president and director of Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, which just received a $35 million gift from the TED Audacious Project to study the ocean's Twilight Zone. Mark, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much, Heather.
And that's our show. Tune in next week for conversations about the ongoing search for extraterrestrial life here in our solar system and well beyond. In the meantime, you can find Living Lab Radio on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Heather Goldstone. Thanks for listening.
Living Lab Radio is produced by WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio in Boston. It's produced by me, Elsa Partan, and Heather Goldstone is executive producer. Funding for Living Lab Radio comes from the Candida Fund, investing in transformative leaders and ideas. Theme music by Stellwagen Symphonette.